Greetings in Jesus' precious name. Really enjoyed that devotional. And it's right along the line of what I wanted to speak about, the grace of God, by whom you have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And we serve a great God. We think about who God is, creator, redeemer, interceding for us. There's a chapter in Psalms, Psalm 8, that speaks about the greatness of God. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. And in verse 3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. And then mentions all the creation. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God, the creator that breathed the universe into existence and created everything to such precision and perfection and power and then we look into the minute details of it all, and it's just mind-boggling, so to speak, of how God created the earth. But yet, and Isaiah, I think it is, says, even the nations are just but a small drop in the bucket. But God has given us his Son. He has sent his Son to redeem us. He has looked upon us and our affliction, since we have been born in sin through Adam. He has looked upon us and provided that salvation for us. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, and he said unto me, this is Peter writing, or Paul writing, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's speaking about grace being sufficient in times of trial and problems and testing. A thorn in the flesh, Paul mentions there. But there's another. There are other definitions of grace that I'd like to look at. Grace is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. We need to have a gratitude for what God has done for us. But we need to, when we are born again, when we realize that we are sinners, we have that brokenness for sin, and we repent of it, then he gives us that grace. The grace of God regenerates, transforms us into new creatures. And Christ calls us to take up the cross, take up his cross, and follow me, he says. That cross is not just enduring hardship, enduring pain and affliction, but that cross is getting rid of self and carnality, crucifying it, as it were. Christ was tempted in all points as we are, and yet without sin. He was tempted in the lust of the flesh, in the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And those three areas is what we are tempted in. So we need to have that crucified, the desire to show off, putting it simply, the desire to show off, the desire to feed a carnal nature, and the desire for pride and recognition. So we need to have those crucified. Take up the cross and follow me, he says. And so that grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, is what he gives us, that we might radiate that love of Christ, we might radiate the indwelling presence of Christ, and that we might bear forth fruit for his honor and glory. My grace is sufficient for thee. Sufficient meaning that it is enough. It provides for our every need. Also, it might have the thought of raising up a barrier. In other words, if Satan tries to bring in some counterfeits, we can say, God's grace is sufficient for us. We don't need any of this, any of Satan's temptations, any of Satan's deception and what he offers. So God's grace is sufficient for us, for every need, and for taking up the cross and following him. We cannot create enough righteousness on our own to save us. We need the transforming power of Christ to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are saved by the grace of Christ. Let's turn to Ephesians 2 for a number of verses. Ephesians chapter 2. Especially verses 1 to 5. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And also that verse, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We are his workmanship. By grace are ye saved. And as we, I enjoy looking up word studies, and as we look up that word grace, there are so many different times that grace is in the New Testament there, speaking about the grace of God. And if we just think about each time and what it means, look into each verse as it, we just want to adore and give gratitude and praise to our Father, to Christ, who has redeemed us, made us free. Romans 3:4 says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1, verse 9 says, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace that has given us, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. He became that perfect sacrifice, that we can, those who call upon him in faith and those who believe and receive it, can be saved. We are sustained and enabled by his grace. And we look again to that verse that Paul quoted, my grace is sufficient for thee. In times of trial and hardship and testing and so forth. Also 1 Peter 5:10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you, so that the grace of God working continually, working in our hearts, we continue to grow in grace and continue to grow in our Christian life, that we can be perfect and established or unmovable in our faith. Strengthen, may that, and it, he mentions settle us, in other words, calm us and deliver us from anxiety and so forth. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4. First Peter 4, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. You know, there are people that want to reproach Christians for standing for Christ, for bearing testimony, of singing for Christ. Probably a number of people there yesterday as we sang in the subway. Some received it, and some questioned. Some were a bit adamant, or just completely clueless sometimes. And they would just love to reproach us for preaching the name of Christ. In fact, one man said, "Why did you come to New York City? Did you want to save us? Why did you go somewhere else?" And so we just said, "Well, there are lots of people here. We don't just want to get the gospel out, the gospel message of salvation through Christ." And so they would love to test and get us into an argument possibly, but you know, we need to calmly and give our testimony of Christ living within, possibly. The grace of God working in our hearts. Remember that divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. When Christ truly dwells within, people can see the difference. They can see Christ living within. That's our desire. That should be the desire of every Christian, to continue to grow in Christ and claim his grace for every test. We can live victoriously through grace. He delivers us from evil. Hebrews says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." He believed God and through faith went ahead and obeyed him. And through obeying God, he was delivered of the flood that came upon, the judgment that came upon the world. 1 Peter 1 also speaks of victorious living. Just pull a few verses out of that. Verse 2. 1 Peter 1, 2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied." And at verse 13, "Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And verse 19, verse 18 speaks, "You're not saved. You know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, saved by the blood of Christ." 1 Corinthians 10:13 speaks about living in victory. When tempted in any area, it is the grace of God that enables us to resist the temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There had no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Jesus was tempted in all points such as we are and came through victoriously. And so we can go to him for deliverance and ask him to deliver us from such and such a temptation, deliver us from deception and so forth, and be walking in his light, reading his word. We need to daily fill our hearts with the word of God. Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." That's Titus 2:11-14. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's our desire and aim, to live that a life that would point others to Christ, a life that bears evidence of Him living within. And we are ready to be of service to Him. We are ready to go where He calls. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. And so we just draw from His grace, His power, His enabling grace we talk about also. God's indwelling, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. Also think about people that we need to keep. We need to keep current with our devotional life. We think about people that who fall away, first lose out. They may be engaged in sin, may fall into sin of some sort and not repent of it. Then they get critical of other Christians. They get critical of the church. They continue on in sin if it's not repented of. They continue to go astray and get blinded by the deceitfulness of the evil one. So we need to keep current. We need to continue to fill our hearts and minds with the Word of God. We need the grace of God to live humbly. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. But not only that, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble." There's that word grace again. He gives grace to the humble. Jesus' example of humility, when he healed people, he did not want to make such a big fanfare about it. He wanted to draw people toward Christ, toward God, and toward his purpose of being here, toward their need of God, toward their need of a Savior. One place it says in John 6:15, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Another time in Luke 5:12, "And it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show himself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." Also, when Jesus healed Jairus' daughter, he did not make such a large fanfare about it. In fact, he put all the others out and brought in his family and maybe some of the disciples that came along and raised her up again. And he did not want to make a big fanfare or a big show about all of this. And so we need grace to live humbly, even if someone else maybe gets a credit for something we did. We need to just live humbly. We need to watch we're not envious, we're not jealous. And we tend to like the limelight. We tend to do things that make others notice us, maybe, or to tend to make others think, put ourselves in a situation where others might think highly of us or something like that. We need to crucify that desire. We need to just simply walk with God and do what He wants us to do. We need to rise up and do what God wants us to do when He calls us to do it. And He gives us the grace. But we need to not seek the glory for ourselves. Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." The greatest miracle Jesus performs is in the hidden man of the heart, in the quiet musings or contemplation of the soul. The inner transformation takes place, which changes the life. I think another example, when Christ read the word in the synagogue, the people were amazed at the gracious words that he spoke. And and he spoke with authority. He spoke as though he really knew what he was talking about, and that he really gets to the heart of the matter. grace to live humbly. There's a little verse that Margaret Penner Toews wrote. It's not a verse of rhyme and rhythm, but it's a verse that is poetic in its content. The Christian life embodies more sanctification than things spectacular, solemnity than the supernatural, sound practices than celebrations, stillness than superlatives. So if you think through all those things, the Christian life working in the inner being, in the inner man of the heart, brings out fruit that brings honor and glory to Christ. Grace to labor for Christ. And I mentioned there, wherever he calls us, he gives us the grace, the enabling grace to fulfill what he wants us to do. 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Another example of the grace of God given to people to build the church, to strengthen. He calls all of us, actually, to build in the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And also our singing should be with grace. I enjoyed singing this weekend with the youth. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ... Let's turn to that. I don't have the rest of that verse. I should have it by memory. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so our singing should reflect the divine influence upon the heart also, and what we listen to, what we feed on. So let us continue to ask God to give us that divine influence to come into our hearts and to reflect it in our daily lives. Let's kneel for prayer.